Hey everybody, Matt McCarthy back here at the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 with Rugby Wrap-Up. We have some esteemed guests here right now. We're going to break off in a bit after two segments with some more guests that we'll tell you, we won't tell you about now because it's a surprise. But on the far side over there, you have Phaedra Knight, the rugby legend. Phaedra, arguably going for her fourth Rugby World Cup. We'll find out if that's true or not at in some future date, maybe on this show. Mr. Mike Tolkien, to my right, head coach of Team USA during the Rugby World Cup of 2015 in England, also of Xavier and New York Athletic Club fame. And of course, we have the Kiwi turned American with his green card, Mr. Chris Brown, who is now the co-head coach of Team USA.
No.
We'll call it the co-head coach of Team USA. Just kidding, Mike. No, you're the resident...
Yeah, lead resident coach. So.
You're going to speak into the...
I'm the lead resident coach, the day-to-day man.
The lead resident... He's the co-head coach. Anyway, a couple of quick topics for us right now. You guys have a ton of experience with USA Rugby, right? Mike, one of their opponents is Georgia, and you've been involved in all four Georgia test matches.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. It's only four. You think over the years it would be a lot more, but I think the first one was 2009, my first year as an assistant with Eddie, and Georgia wasn't near what they are now. They were just starting to find their feet, and it became a national game for them. But anytime you play Georgia, it's a physical battle. It's you have a real test up front. And that's what the U.S. will have on Saturday against Georgia.
So physically, what are the people of Georgia like? Because, you know, you've got the Polynesians who all look like they can catch a piano, right?
the Georgians, if you're in Tbilisi or anywhere in Georgia, you see a lot of big men with black coats on the side of the road, a lot of garages, and they just look like they can all prop. And
so,
they can.
So they're pack heavy.
Correct.
All right. Does Georgia have a women's team?
Not that I'm aware of. We've never played them if they have.
Okay, so that answers that question. Chris, you've done Namibia, which is a tongue twister for the folks at home. And that was with you were in the New Zealand Rugby World Cup 2011, right?
Yeah.
Where Alain Roland made his impact with Sam Warburton, if I'm not mistaken, right? Was that the red card?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm getting away from the
well
topic
done.
Here.
Well
Fiji, you're with the 15s program, so you've had your experience with 15s guys.
Yeah.
What influence did the 7s program and the 7s coaching staff have, if any, on the 15 squad that's playing Georgia?
Well, I think if you look at the 7s boys that are out there, they're generally the ones that are in the best physical condition so they can get through a lot more work than a lot of the other boys that are used to playing in the Premiership or the European League. So, you know, it's a different format, and there's different skill sets that are needed depending on what position you're playing. But you'll definitely see around the breakdown area, the sevens boys will generally come out on top in that area because that's what they focus on day to day.
The problem, I guess, you guys are confronted with, because it's not an exclusive sevens program, it's not an exclusive 15s program. Not yet, anyway. The players are going back and forth. You have a guy like Danny Barrett and a guy like Andrew Duratalo who are better off lighter in sevens and probably a little bit more stocky in 15s because they're playing flanker, right? Or back row. Phaedra, you have that problem because you go back and forth to sevens and 15s. Well, you might not be now.
Well, yeah, I did. And, you know, I guess between 2000 six and 2009 were those years, and I actually between those years was strictly sevens.
Which years?
2006 and 2009 I played with the U.S. sevens team, so I didn't have that fluctuation so much. And then when my last stint with sevens was 2015 through 2016, and I wasn't playing 15, so I never ran into that issue. But as I've gotten older, I have found it more advantageous to be lighter. It's just easier to move around.
Even if you were going to play 15s?
Even if I was going to play 15s, yeah. I mean, the key in 15s, you know, in the position that I've been playing as back row and hooker, is just you know, maintaining the power. And the challenge, I think, when you get a bit older is just to maintain that power. So size is, although it can be helpful, it's probably secondary to just, you know, maintaining power. At least that's been my experience.
Mike, was it more advantageous for you to have Danny Barrett or Andrew lighter? Or did you want to beef them up? What was the story there?
I think with Andrew, it was... He came into the World Cup, and prior to that, he came in great shape. He needed to lose a few pounds going way back, but he came in perfect shape. And he has a body type that just tends to carry a little more weight. But he came, I thought he was really good shape. Danny, just the way he plays, Danny is a very confrontational player. And maybe in 15s, a couple of extra pounds just would have helped him. But the guys were in tremendous shape.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're getting around the park into the breakdown in good position, you know, that's the key. And those guys were on top of the ball in good low position, playing under people. So that helped a lot with the confrontations.
And you guys were directly responsible for the guys being in shape like that, because from what I gather, you run a pretty tough camp and a pretty tough setup there with the guys getting in shape.
Yeah, I mean, look, our setup is like a full-time professional academy, and so for us, that's the only place in the country where they don't have to actually work or do other priorities, where we can make sure that their skill development and their conditioning is on point and there's no excuses. So.
Did you have to reprogram the guys when you got them back from the 15th? Is that a process?
It is with different players. So Falau's not an issue, but when you get Danny Barrett back, etc., it does take a bit of time to get him moving. But once he's moving, if he's playing rugby, if he's playing rugby, then he'll gradually get fitter and fitter, and that's what you've seen in the last 4 months from him on the Seven Series. I mean, that's why he made the World Series dream team.
All right, so we're going to wind down this first segment and take a quick break, but we'll be back with Phaedra Knight, Mike Tolkien, and Chris Brown on Rugby Wrap-Up here at Studio 34 on the Fantasy Sports Network.
I'm Sean Fitzpatrick, and you're watching Rugby Wrap-Up.
Chris, when you guys win the Rugby World Cup and Mike goes on to coach England, the 15s program, and you take over for him with Team USA, what changes are you going to implement?
I don't know about that.
Know about which changes you're going to make yet? Or...
I've got no comment on that one, Gino. But I do like the point on winning the home World Cup. I mean, the best part is these boys like to play at home for some reason, and so it'll be pretty cool if we could come away with that title and lead on into the Olympics. So,
you've been around Friday a lot, Coach Friday, to the point where I could ask you a question, maybe if he likes to blow off some steam or get in touch with his sensitive side. What would you say he does?
With Mike, he loves Adele, but I mean, it's the only thing I can think of, really. I mean, if every second song that he listens to seems to be from Adele, so at the moment, so yeah. But apart from that, I've got no idea.
Well, we could help you with that. Our man Jonathan Wicklow Barbary, fellow Kiwi,
as a matter
of fact, from Stewart Island. We're just south of Stewart Island. We have a clip right over here.
Coach, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
You were a hard-nosed player for the London Wasps, Harlequins, and in sevens, you captained England. Now you're the no-nonsense coach of Team USA. How do you stay in touch with your sensitive side? Poetry, music, subtitled films, what is it?
Probably a little bit of music. I love a little bit of Pink. Love to be sensitive with Pink. That would be good for all, but...
Pink in what regard?
Well, Pink, in what regard? Any Pink? Pink, I mean, she's a good-looking girl.
So, the lady.
The lady.
Oh, just so I thought it was the hue.
No. Bit of music with her. Obviously, I listen to the music that some of the boys put on show, but I try and avoid Perry's music at all costs because...
Perry Baker.
Yeah, Perry is, I think, tone deaf. He can dance for England or even for the USA, should we say. But
I'm sorry, you have breaking news for us. Is he dancing for England these days? And are you taking him to England?
No. Perry is definitely staying put. Definitely staying put.
There's the clip.
Yeah, well, that's true. Sorry, I mean, he did say, I mean, flip Pink and Adele if he could...
Pink.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is happily married, but I'm sure if he had his way, he would love to be spending some time with them. Sorry, Mike, there
most
we go. So.
Most folks like some Pink anyway. Anyway, Phaedra, are you going to be playing in your fourth World Cup? in 15s?
Time will tell. I am currently in the pool. But yeah, we shall see. I mean, there are a couple of potential opportunities outside of playing in the World Cup.
Aha!
Just leave it there. We'll just leave it there.
We're going to leave it there, are we?
Yes, we are.
Phaedra, who we go way back, and she's sitting in the New York Rugby Club corner, which is making Coach Tolkien's skin crawl because he's a New York Athletic Club guy, but strategically placed behind the two of them is the New York Rugby Club stuff, the oldest club in the United States, established in 1929. So your next steps for you in terms of getting the guys prepared?
Look, we've had, this is the first time in 4 years that these boys have actually had an extended off season, or the opportunity to have an extended off season. So we're currently giving them a 2.5 month break. Some of them are doing internships, some are playing in the 15s, but they'll still get the extended break.
Any on a booze cruise?
I'm sure there's a few there. But we've tried to make sure that they can all get an extended period away, because the next 3 years is pretty full on. We start back on the 14th of August. For the 15s boys, they start back on the 4th of September. And then we'll build into about 5-6 weeks before we play a couple of pre-season tournaments, and then into Dubai and Cape Town. So.
Wow. I think we're going to be winding down in this segment. Now, before you go, I wanted to ask you specifically, Mike, because we'll bring it up in the next segment as well with the other guys that are coming in. But what is your take on the MLR and the remaining remnants of the Pro Rugby USA setup?
Well, I don't know how much there is of Pro Rugby left. You know, whatever remnants are, you know, seem to be gone or in some trouble. But I think with MLR, they might have the model a little better here. Just hindsight helps, and you know, them picking up from what Pro Rugby did and forming a league that might be a little bit more modest and franchise based helps. And I think that they are probably going to take a just a little bit more modest and slow approach to it. So I think that, you know, they form a middle ground from domestic amateur club rugby to the next level of professional rugby, and then we'll see what moves on there.
So you have basically a positive outlook on Major League Rugby.
I think you have to.
Would you be interested in coaching one of the franchises?
Sure. You know, you have to look at every opportunity that comes your way. If it's
would
the right
you
thing.
Move?
Why? Do you insinuate that I wouldn't move?
No, because there's no team on the East Coast right now. Then
I would have to move. Where did you go to school?
See, the things we learn here, it's just very easy to figure these things out when you ask the right questions.
Yes, if the opportunity was right, sure, of course.
All right. So, Phaedra.
Yes.
What is your prediction for the women's team in Dublin in the Women's World Cup?
You know, based on a very intense couple of matches last week, scrimmage and match, I think there's a great deal of potential, right? What happens on the day or the, what is it, 6 days, we'll see. I mean, we are up against Spain and Italy and England, world champions. So we have our hands full, but I think that the squad has the potential. They certainly have the raw talent to make it to a semifinal. Will they or will we? We'll see. You know, there's a ton of preparation required to get to that place in, you know, under 2 months, which can be, you know, in some respects regarded as a monumental feat if accomplished. But we certainly have the potential. How it's managed, how it goes about, you know, playing out, we'll see.
Whether you're with the squad as a player or you're there as an analyst, you should definitely be there, and I hope you're there, because going, just even the thought of playing for 4 World Cups is an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Thank you.
I think we're winding down the first segment, and we'll be back with Mr. Steve Lewis, Mr. Greg McWilliams, and Mr. Matt Simons, a very large man, after these words.
Hi, this is John Gruden, and you're watching Rugby Wrap-Up. All right.
Hey, everybody, we're back. I'm Matt McCarthy, and of course, we're at Studio 34 for the Fantasy Sports Network. And we've got all new faces in for the second half of today's show. To my far right is Greg McWilliams. If you don't know him, he is the Irish George Clooney and a graduate of
Better hair.
Trinity College. You're currently with Yale, but we'll get into your complete bio because it's about 4 hours long. And Mr. Steve Lewis, the Lizard, the celebrated Sevens coach here in team in the United States, who was the prior COO of the only professional setup we've had. And we have the real pleasure of having a big time, in every sense of the word, Mr. Matt Simons of Wasps rugby, but he's played around. He's played around on the rugby pitch, folks. Guys, welcome. I just want to introduce the "you're talking too much" bell, and if you are talking too much, we're gonna.
I'm definitely gonna get that bell.
We're gonna give you one of those. Well, you know what? That's the beauty of the bell. But let's start off, Greg. Tell us a little bit about your history, and be careful with the bell.
Yeah, so I came to America in August of 2014 after the Women's Rugby World Cup in France. I had the pleasure of coaching the Irish side there, and I was ready for a different challenge. And myself and my wife Sarah moved over here to start a new adventure. And since
what was the adventure?
Taking over as the head coach and director of rugby of Yale University, and from there having the opportunity to work with Atavis, where I look after their curriculum for their camps.
The curricular directum, director. Yes.
Well, whatever.
It's not Latin. It's not curriculum directum, right? That's just, it's English. So it's what does that entail exactly? And you might have to get a little bit closer.
Yeah,
to
sure. Yeah. So I have the opportunity of working with a number of coaches on the Atavis staff who put together a framework for how we would like to approach coaching students of the game who come into our camps. So generally a lot of that would be to do with basic skill acquisition. So catch pass is something that is very important to me as a coach, and evasion skills.
And yet you and Steve are actually speaking despite the fact that you're working with different academies.
Myself and Steve will always be speaking, that's for sure.
Fellow Celts.
We don't want Steve to take his little Scottish rugby ball and go home, right? So
I'll take that. I think on the way out the door. So right. I've had the opportunity of coming in here and going around the country, and I must say I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And there's a lot more challenges ahead. So
you also did some interesting work with the Leinster youth program, right?
Yeah, I coached Leinster 19s for five seasons, and I was heavily involved in high school rugby over there. A number of my students actually togged out last Saturday for the opposition, being Ireland. So it's great to see them developing, and hopefully we can get a few young guys here.
AJ McGinty, right?
Yeah, I coached AJ McGinty back in Ireland for two seasons. So again, it's kind of great to see those guys coming through and doing so well. That's the main thing that I like about rugby, is getting the opportunity to coach younger players and teaching them hopefully some good skills they can take with them and do great things.
Okay, we got our first bell.
I just knew I was going to get that. Thanks,
you know,
Matt.
So the best part is when people start to anticipate the bell. That'll be the best part of the show.
I really
right?
was anticipating it.
You've got to be sick of hearing about the Irish, right? You are English.
I am. Yes.
So that's there's that. But you just lost in the Premiership final, in a thrilling Premiership final, I might add. It was.
We watched it back yesterday. It was
come on,
the highlights. It was pretty tough going.
Your hair is longer than it was in the match. Is that
no? Shorter.
You can grow yours
back.
Check
into a barber here. Yeah.
Yeah. I can do it. I mean, we can do it on camera, right? Shave your head.
Why not?
All right.
You'd save me $20.
Actually, it'll be 35.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to stop talking. But you have had unique experience playing Southern Hemisphere because you played with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then, ironically, you lose to the Chiefs up here, with Wasps.
Ironically, right? Yes.
I mean, I don't know if it's ironic, but it is pretty cool that you actually played Southern Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere rugby, and you're a big guy. And I wanted to get your perspective on whether you think there's really a distinct difference between what's going on in the Southern Hemisphere and the Northern Hemisphere now.
I think it's pretty team by team based. I think there's a lot of teams in the Northern Hemisphere, for example, at Wasp, we've got a really good skill set. We're working at a lot, our catch pass, our fundamentals every week. So we can play a game that's pretty expansive, and we do want to do that. Some teams depends on their forward pack, on their fitness levels, on their skill sets.
Sure.
But there is definitely there's still a place in the Northern Hemisphere for a tight game. Good set piece, good lineup, good scrum, penalties off that, and good kicking game.
What did you like the most about playing with Chiefs, and what do you like the most about playing with Wasps?
The Chiefs was really player led.
Player led.
So I don't think you can't really understand how much until you're in that environment. But some of those senior guys, those All Blacks, are really driving that whole culture, that whole the game plan ultimately. And Dave Rennie, who's leaving to go to Glasgow, but he was very much a supporter of that. The boys taking ownership, and I think maybe in Northern Hemisphere, it's more coach led. There are obviously there's a lot of leaders within the team.
Yeah.
But in terms of the game plan, it comes from the coaches.
Steve, as a Scotsman, would you say the weather is more indicative of what style of rugby you play?
I would think the weather in Scotland is similar to southern New Zealand. So I think when you talk South Africa or Australia, you have a point.
But obviously, with the weather during the season, though, is different, isn't it? Isn't the weather during the rugby season in New Zealand a little bit more friendly? It's not as... Well, I guess it's rainy.
It's pretty rainy because it's still through the winter. I think when you go over... I've played a fair few games in the rain. But I think over there, they really want to back their skill set, even in the wet.
Right.
The Northern Hemisphere, probably it's a bit more up the jumper. Let's play the corners. Let's drive the penalties. Whereas down there, they'll still have the same game plan, dry or wet.
I think Greg will back me up here, but you know, in Scotland and Ireland, we say anyone can play with a dry ball, right? It takes real skill playing with a wet ball.
Yeah. Well, with that, we'll talk about wet balls and more when we come back after this quick break on Rugby Wrap Up.
Action. I'm AJ McGinty, and you're watching Rugby Wrap Up.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to be a lot louder because of the noise here.
I'm AJ McGinty, and you're watching Rugby Wrap Up.
We left you with our wet balls, and speaking of wet balls and dry balls specifically, we'll go from one code 15s to the other code of 7s and talk a little bit about Summer 7s. Steve, tell us a little bit about Summer 7s.
Yeah, well, the Summer 7 series is about to kick off, and the first tournament, or one of four qualifying tournaments in the Northeast, is being held at Monmouth. These four tournaments determine which two sides from the Northeast go to the National Club Championships in Minnesota in August. So this is the proving ground for, you know, Chris Brown and for Eagle Sevens, is people have to perform first at club level, then at academies like the Northeast or Tiger, and then thereafter, hopefully, they get the nod and they're picked up.
Greg, what's your involvement in the Sevens?
Well, I actually helped out with Steve's team last week. Again, when I help out, whether it's 15s or 7s, the same skill acquisitions kind of are required, I think, as a coach, which is dissecting the catch pass and trying to paint pictures for your players so they go into either 7s or 15s on the weekend and have a good understanding of what to expect and how to execute it. So that's pretty much...
Do any of the All-Americans come and watch these kinds of setups and say that this is the way you want to play, or is their skill set beyond that? How does that compare?
So I'm lucky to coach the collegiate All-Americans, and we have some really excellent college players that come into that player group. And their skill sets are pretty high, and I think we just need to put them in an environment where we're challenging them as much as we can to think, and also to place that onus on the player to understand the actions that they need to get to that next level. And it's very, very tough the higher up you get. And I think having your player playing under pressure is really important with good technical skills. So I think whether you're a high school or a collegiate player, it's all about setting that environment for them to improve. So when it comes to a game, it nearly becomes easier.
Steve, how many guys will come out of that on the radar for the men's sevens program?
Right. Well, that's really up to Eagles coaches, right? So,
what would you predict?
You know, I think every summer you tend to discover two or three, or perhaps guys you knew have improved and have moved on. So I'd like to think I'd be able to recommend two or three or four guys based upon their performances in club sevens this summer.
Ever play sevens?
There was a uni tournament once back in the day. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I don't think I'll be too suited to it now.
I'm thinking of introducing Clydesdale sevens.
They do that. They're all like front row events. There's one in New Zealand. It's tight five sevens.
Would you have a go? I mean, you'd probably not be able to do it with your contract, right?
Yeah, that'd be the limitation there.
So if you weren't a rugby player and you can't play sevens, well, forget that, but if you weren't a rugby player, what would you do? What would you play?
I rowed for university. So stopped playing at rugby at 18. Couldn't get an academy contract. This kind of program came up aimed towards London 2012. Kind of jumped on that bandwagon. And then pretty much rowed the whole way through university. Got injured. And that was...
You got injured rowing and then picked up rugby? Or?
And then picked up rugby. How does that work? I know. Madness.
How did you... I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
You're 6'7". Right? How do you stretch your legs in a boat? I mean, you got to be... How many people are in the boat?
One. Just single skulls.
Oh, this is single.
Thinking, oh, but have you seen the crew guys?
I'm thinking you're in a whole boat with all these guys.
Oh, most of them are 6'6" plus.
Are they?
Some of them are 6'9". Yeah, there's some.
We're gonna have to brush up on our rowing, gentlemen. Yeah. what's your favorite thing about New York?
New York. Just the bars. It's a good setup out there.
This isn't bad. Rockin' Riley's.
It's good. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that.
Did you know the mayor is taller than you?
Is he?
He's 6'8", isn't
really?
He?
Really?
Mayor Doofus?
I beg your pardon?
Mayor de Blasio, sorry. The champagne socialist is here, ladies and gentlemen. How many times have you been to New York?
Once before.
With
we stayed out in Jersey, right? Yeah, and then we had that game at Red Bull. So we only came in for a few hours, to be fair, on our day off.
You saw most of beautiful downtown Newark.
Yeah.
And Harrison.
I think it was, where's the Jets facility? Madison, is it? Near there. That's where we stayed. So out in the sticks.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, you're going to have to come back, and maybe we'll see the town a little bit in the meantime. Who's going to be the next head coach for Team USA?
Hard to say.
Are you going to be the next head coach for Team USA?
No. Right. I'm very lucky to be able to observe the current coaching setup with the Eagles. I'm joining them for the latter stage of their tour.
And who's going to be the next head coach of Team USA?
No idea. I just know the current lads are doing a great job. They really are.
So if you're on a game show and you're playing for the new car, who's going to be the next coach of Team USA?
Steve Lewis.
Steve, who's going to be...
Wrong answer.
Steve, who's going to be the head coach of Team USA?
Greg McWilliams.
Hard to say.
Do you think they should hire a guy, a big name guy, or do they name somebody here? Because there are budget constrictions, or they're under the gun in certain ways.
I can't really comment. I don't know the system well enough.
You can lie. You can comment. Sure.
I think...
Should because there are fans of USA Rugby out there that say they got to bring in an Eddie Jones. They got to bring in. I'm like, you can't afford an Eddie Jones. A and B, you're going to ask him to move to the United States and come to a setup where there's no professional rugby in place, or there's no real solid infrastructure in place.
I mean, I think the problems lie deeper than just naming one head coach. I think we really need to have a independent audit of everything we do. I mean, you have to look at the whole structure. Pathways, U20s, Collegiate All-Americans. I mean, the head coach waving a magic wand isn't going to happen.
All right, so who's the next head coach, Steve?
They haven't opened up the job yet. You don't know who's available until it's advertised.
Let's take three. Let's act like this is a... We're in the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's act like this is sports fantasy. Give me three.
I think it was a very interesting announcement for the Dallas head coach.
That's right, Mike Ford. Mike Ford, we completely didn't touch upon that, and we're running out of time, but Mike Ford of the ML is signed a long-term deal with the MLR.
Not sure of the deal, but it's certainly a bold move. It's a real statement of intent by the MLR, so credit to them.
There you go. We're going to wind up the show with Steve Lewis skating around the final question, not answering it, the champagne socialist, but I want to thank him, Mr. Matt Simons, who has added real class and caliber to our set. Thank you, sir. And Mr. Greg McWilliams, who is the Irish George Clooney. On behalf of all these gentlemen, I'm Matt McCarthy. For Rugby Wrap-Up, it's Studio 34 of the Fantasy Sports Network in New York City, signing off.